Salam sejahtera, ini Niaga Awani, saya Ibrahim Sani. Kita teruskan berita pada pagi ini. Nomura Asset Management Malaysia Sdn Bhd, subsidiari pengurusan dana Malaysia di bawah SPAN Nomura Holdings Incorporated, menyasarkan pencapaian RM50 juta aset di bawah pengurusan ataupun AUM dalam tempoh 2 tahun melalui dana equity syariah Global Nomura GSSEF yang baru sahaja dilancarkan pada Rabu. Pengarah urusan Leslie Yap berkata terdapat peningkatan kesedaran serta pengiktirafan oleh pelabur pelaburan alam sekitar, sosial dan tadbir urus ataupun ESG yang menyaksikan Nomura mengendalikan kira-kira $600 juta ataupun 10% aset global dalam equity ESG.
Malaysia being a Islamic finance hub, why not have a Sharia version where other our Muslim investors can and participate and benefit from it? So that's one we believe the other demand driver. Right? So the pool and the target market is bigger versus just conventional. And like I said at the start, that there is actually interest from some of our corporate or institutional clients for this. They were quite pleased with the conventional fund. They actually said that, would you be able to work with us for the Sharia version? And that's how this came about.
Ketika mengulas mengenai pulangan untuk GSSEF tersebut, beliau berkata kumpulan menyasarkan secara relatif dalam 3 hingga 4% berbanding penanda aras indeks pasaran membangun Islam Dow Jones. Bagaimanapun, inflasi menjadi cabaran kepada pelabur dan dengan pasaran yang sedang dalam mod pembetulan, ia juga merupakan masa yang tepat kepada pelabur profesional seperti Nomura untuk membantu pelanggan mereka mengenal pasti syarikat dengan penilaian yang betul. Tambahnya, dana itu tersedia di Malaysia mulai Rabu dengan pelaburan awal minimum sebanyak RM1,000 serta $1,000 dan Nomura Asset Management UK Limited telah dilantik sebagai penasihat pelaburan kepada dana itu dalam menyediakan penyelidikan pelaburan termasuk cadangan saham selaras dengan objektif pelaburan dan had serta lingkungan pelaburan. Menurut beliau lagi, pelaburan ESG boleh dicapai dengan memberi tumpuan bukan sahaja kepada prestasi kewangan syarikat portfolio tetapi juga kesan sosialnya yang lebih baik.
Kita teruskan berita telekomunikasi. Suruhanjaya Komunikasi dan Multimedia Malaysia MCMC telah pun meluluskan penggabungan antara Celcom dan Digi. MCMC dalam kenyataan berkata kelulusan itu diberi selepas mengeluarkan notis tiada bantahan. Katanya penggabungan tersebut akan menjadikannya sebagai pengendali perkhidmatan muda alih terbesar di Malaysia mengatasi Maxis. Ketika ini, Digi dan Celcom merupakan pengendali perkhidmatan muda alih kedua dan ketiga terbesar negara. MCMC telah pun menjalankan penilaian menyeluruh terhadap penggabungan ini di mana pada 1 April 2022, MCMC mengeluarkan pernyataan isu kepada pemohon selaras dengan garis panduan penggabungan dan pengambil alihan bertarikh 17 Mei 2019. Ia untuk menangani kebimbangan bahawa penggabungan ini akan berkemungkinan mengurangkan persaingan antara setengah pasaran komunikasi secara ketara. Pemohon telah pun mengemukakan aku janji yang mengandungi komitmen untuk mengatasi isu-isu persaingan yang diketengahkan oleh MCMC. MCMC telah mempertimbangkan komitmen yang ditawarkan oleh pemohon dan berpuas hati bahawa ia akan mengurangkan dengan signifikan isu-isu persaingan yang akan atau mungkin timbul akibat penggabungan ini. Alright, we now move on to some corporate news and of course equities. This morning, Bursa Malaysia opened flat at 1450 points, down 1.57 points or 11%, 0.11%, 0.11%, pardon me. We're looking at over 250 million shares being traded, valued about RM123 million. Losers stand at about 274 counters, gainers about 180 counters. We can move on to some key news. Let's start with Gamuda. This is because the first 9 months of the 22 results were above expectations. Maybe Haritz, you can show us a little bit more about Gamuda shares.
Sudah tentu Ibrahim, kalau kita nak melihat dari segi prestasi Gamuda pada ketika ini, kalau dalam tempoh 5 hari kita nampak peningkatan yang boleh dikatakan agak ketara, 3.52, dan ini merupakan angka untuk tempoh 5 hari kalau kita bandingkan dalam tempoh sebulan juga naik turun melibatkan saham Gamuda ini. Ibrahim, jika boleh kamera kita zoom ataupun kita fokuskan berkenaan dengan angka ataupun melihat kepada angka terkini 3.52 pada hari ini, Ibrahim.
Okay, of course, this is because Vietnam Property and MR2 profits were the two key drivers. Order book is at an new all-time high of 12.4 billion ringgit with a robust domestic and overseas pipeline. CGSCIMB retains an add with a target price of 4.35 ringgit. And next, we move on to Inari Amerton. Inari is entering a JV with China Fortune Tech Capital, or CFTC, to carry out an OSAT business in China, targeting China's semiconductor market. Inari is injecting cash and in the 100% stake in ATK for controlling stake in YSIC, while CFTC will inject cash and existing investments in YSIC worth about 376 million ringgit. Meanwhile, we move on to another corporate news. MyNews earnings outlook remains subdued. They iterate analysts are reiterating a reduced call on MyNews post second quarter 2022 results. They expect this company to retain its losses for the next year, and of course this is due to a prolonged CU gestation period. Haritz, let's talk a little bit more about MyNews. What is up with them?
Yep, Ibrahim, latest on MyNews 0.44 ringgit, dan melihat kepada penurunan ataupun kepada terkini, jika boleh saya lihat di sini, iaitu penurunan 15.89% kepada negatif 0.09 kepada 0.45 sen. Ibrahim, ini merupakan angka terkini kalau kita telitikan untuk MyNews dalam tempoh jangka masa 5 hari ini, 0.44, Ibrahim.
Baik, of course, to fund the CU expansion, they expect MyNews to be laden with balance sheet with higher gearing ratio. Equity cash call is also on the cards. MyNews is right now down 4.5 sen to 41 sen. Okay, let's move on to some news that was sourced by a bunch of sources. Stakes in Digital National Berhad, or DNB, the special purpose vehicle, is set to roll up the new 5G network nationwide, may have been taken up by telco players at the 11th hour ahead of Thursday's deadline. Today, yeah, deadline for them to finalize their decision was actually last night, 29th of June. According to a report by Singapore's Straits Times, ST, industry sources claim that a non-binding term sheet had been agreed upon by 6 telcos ahead of the deadline, along with a shareholders agreement to take up a stake in DNB, which is expected to be signed early next month, which is literally tomorrow. Other sources told The Daily that out of 9 telcos, only 6, including Celcom Axiata Berhad, Digi.com Berhad, Maxis Berhad and U-Mobile Sendirian Berhad, or collectively known as the CDMU, will take up equal shares in DNB. According to The Edge, quoting the report, based on a planned injection of 500 million ringgit by the Finance Ministry, supporting the government's 30% stake, it implies each of the 6 telcos will cough up around 200 million ringgit for a 12% share. The ST in Singapore was also made to understand that the agreement will include a price review that will be overseen by the MCMC every 3 years. The report added that the wholesale pricing will be discounted until DNB achieves 80% nationwide coverage, which is expected to happen only by 2024. Maybe we can do a quick look over at the share prices of the 3 telcos. Haritz, let's look at Maxis, Celcom and Digi.
Okey, untuk Maxis sebenarnya, Ibrahim, kita nak meneliti kepada angka terkini, iaitu RM3.35 ataupun RM3.36, peningkatan 3.40%. Ini merupakan graf untuk dalam tempoh 5 hari. Kalau kita nak bandingkan dalam tempoh sebulan juga, kita nampak ianya mula menunjukkan prestasi peningkatan kepada Maxis. Dan seterusnya kita nak melihat kepada Celcom. Cerita besar semalam penggabungan Celcom dan juga Digi, bagaimana prestasinya dalam tempoh 5 hari. Kita melihat kepada ketika ini peningkatan 5.51%, iaitu kepada RM2.86, di mana sudah tentu ianya memberi impak yang besar pengumuman ataupun keputusan yang dibuat oleh MCMC semalam juga. Dan sudah tentu satu lagi syarikat kita nak melihat juga, Digi. Bagaimana prestasi Digi ketika ini? Sahamnya pada RM3.44, iaitu peningkatan 8.49% kepada ataupun peningkatan 0.27 sen pada ketika ini. Kalau anda dapat lihat grafnya, pengumuman semalam, ini merupakan satu peningkatan yang boleh dikatakan agak ketara juga untuk melihat kepada prestasi saham kepada Digi ini, Ibrahim.
Baik, terima kasih. Okay, we now are done with the local scene. We move on to some international movements. The S&P 500 ended a seesaw session slightly down on Wednesday as investors staggered toward the finishing line of a downbeat month. A dismal quarter and the worst first half of Wall Street's benchmark index since President Nixon's first term. The three major U.S. stock indexes spent much of the session wavering between red and green. The Nasdaq joined the S&P 500, closing nominally lower, while the blue chip Dow posted a modest gain. Modest market leaders Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon provided the upside muscle, while economically sensitive chips, small caps and transports were underperforming at the broader market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.27%, S&P 500 lost 0.07%, and the Nasdaq Composite dropped 0.03%. We now move on to some news on commodities. Oil prices slid about 2% on Wednesday as a rise in U.S. gasoline and distillated inventories and worries about slower economic growth around the world offset ongoing concerns about tight crude supplies. Brent futures for August delivery fell 1.5%, settled at $116 a barrel, while the U.S. WTI crude fell 1.8% to settle at $109 per barrel. The Energy Information Administration, or EIA, said that the U.S. crude inventories fell last week even as production hit its highest levels since April 2020 during the first wave of the coronavirus pandemic. Fuel stocks rose as refiners ramped up activity, operating at 95% of capacity, the highest in 4 years. Those surprise inventory gains caused U.S. gasoline and distillated futures to drop about 3% and 4% respectively. Also putting pressure on oil was a rise in the U.S. dollar against a basket of other currencies to its highest rise, hitting a 19-year high in mid-June. A stronger dollar makes oil more expensive for buyers using other currencies. Okay, maybe we can toss back to Harith, talk a little bit more about some of the movements in the market.
Sudah tentu, Ibrahim, kalau kita nak melihat antaranya kalau Dow Jones, Nasdaq dan juga S&P 500, hanya Dow Jones yang dilihat tutup pada kadar positif iaitu 82.32, perubahan 0.27%. Bagaimanapun, Nasdaq turun 3.65 kepada 0.03% dan S&P 500 turun 2.72 kepada 0 ataupun bersamaan dengan 0.07. Dan kalau kita nak teliti, sudah tentu banyak juga saham-saham yang dilihat. Kalau semalam banyak warna merah, hari ini nampak ceria sikit lah. Maksudnya ada campur-campur hijau dan juga merah. Semalam kita lihat susulan daripada pengumuman indeks harga pengguna di Amerika Syarikat menjejaskan dari segi prestasi saham di peringkat S&P 500 Amerika Syarikat. Menyaksikan pada ketika ini kita nampak lebih kepada positif. Microsoft, Apple, bagaimanapun Google kosong negatif 0.28%. Amazon nampaknya positif 1.42%. Ini antara prestasi ataupun saham-saham yang dilihat ditutup pada kadar yang boleh dikatakan positif di dalam S&P 500. Ibrahim.
Okay, baiklah. So as we can see, there are a lot of movements in the market. Maybe we can do a two-way screen with Harith juga. So Harith, antara perkara yang penting kalau kita nak recap balik minggu ni, harga ayam ceiling pun dah tetapkan. Market watch pun kita pun dah tahu Digi dan Celcom akan bergabung. I just want to ask your opinion, Harith. Do you look forward to the merger between Celcom and Digi? And therefore kita ada basically dua big players, Maxis plus Celcom Digi. Or do you feel macam fragmented is a little bit better?
I think it's okay, cuma akhirnya kalau nak bergabung pun perlu ada ataupun perkhidmatan itu perlu ditingkatkanlah kerana ada setengah lagi kawasan. Kalau kita keluar on ground di kawasan-kawasan tertentu susah mendapat jaringan akses, tapi mungkin kerana penggabungan antara Celcom dan juga Digi ini sedikit sebanyak membantu untuk memastikan peningkatan ataupun tahap kualiti. Jika sebelum ini mungkin Digi di satu kawasan itu kurang baik, tetapi apabila kerjasama ini jalankan, mungkin di kawasan-kawasan yang Celcom sebelum ini mempunyai liputan yang baik boleh memberi khidmat ataupun perkhidmatan yang lebih baik kepada mereka yang menggunakan perkhidmatan Digi sebelum ini. Jadi saya nampak ia baik, tetapi perkhidmatan itu perlu ditambah baik dari semasa ke semasa, Ibrahim.
Penggabungan towers di antara dua telco ni penting. In fact, one company that we really need to look at is E.co, Harith, sebab E.co is the one, I think the region, if not the country's biggest telco tower operator, and it of course belongs to Axiata, which is part of the Celcom family. So mungkin better network and better coverage is going to be done. The question now here is, ni kena tie up dengan story DNB tadi.
Okay.
5G apa cerita kan? Sebab apa yang kita sembang tadi, rangkaian network dan sebagainya, masih lagi 4G. Yeah. So I don't know whether this whole purchases of the telcos of the 12% into DNB is going to actually improve on the 5G delivery in the country. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this DNB? Ke you macam still waiting for news to be unravel and opening dekat sini?
I think the most interesting part lah berkenaan dengan DNB ini adalah kalau kita nak melihat dari segi bagaimana pelaksanaannya. Kerana ramai yang tanya, kalau kita tengok di Twitter juga, Ibrahim, mungkin ramai juga yang bertanya macam mana pelaksanaannya ni selepas ini, apa yang akan jadi kan? Kosnya macam mana? Kerana akhirnya orang akan risau ataupun bertanya berkenaan dengan kos. Apa, ada kos baru ke? Ada kos lain ke yang perlu ditanggung oleh pengguna?
Nothing for free. There's no cost. If the cost rises, it's you and me that's going to pay.
So sama ada single ke apa sekalipun pelaksanaannya, akhirnya orang nak tahu kos. Apa kos, berapa kosnya yang akan ditanggung pengguna?
Alright, Arit, terima kasih banyak-banyak pagi ini. Okay, we now move on to the closing news that I want to share with you. An overwhelming and growing majority of Americans say that the US is heading the wrong direction, including nearly 8 in 10 Democrats, according to a new poll that finds deep pessimism about the economy plaguing President Joe Biden. 85% of the US adults say that the country is on the wrong track, and 79% describe the economy as poor, according to a new survey from the AP NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. The findings suggest Biden faces fundamental challenges as he tries to motivate voters to cast ballots for Democrats in November's midterm elections. The inflation rate has, of course, consistently eclipsed the healthy 3.6% unemployment rate as a focal point for Americans who are dealing with high gasoline and food prices. Even among Democrats, 67% call economic conditions poor, and the poll shows only 39% of Americans actually approve of Biden's leadership overall, while 60% continue to disapprove his leadership. His approval rating fell to its lowest point of his presidency last month, and that value or level remains right now. The Democratic president gets it even harder on the economy, with 69% saying that they disapprove of him on the issue. Among Democrats, 43% disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy. In recent weeks, Americans have endured even more bad economic news, with inflation continuing to rise, interest rates increasing dramatically, and the S&P 500 entering a bear market. So that's all the news that we have for now. We would like to wish you a very good week ahead. My name is Ibrahim Sani, and of course joining me earlier was Najib Arof, and then in the studio joining me is of course Haris Ashraf as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.